Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Pete Anderson. Today I'll be reading from the April 1st, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. The first story we're going to look at today is titled Uncertain Future. This story is subtitled Amid Connecticut Mall Struggles, the Shops at Buckland Hills has quietly been mired in a years-long foreclosure. It's business as usual at Manchester's Shops at Buckland Hills, an approximately 1.2 million square foot indoor shopping center that opened in 1990 in a prime location near Interstates 84 and 91. The mall's social media accounts are cracking out content. A new Eastern Mountain sports store is set to open soon, and a mall turnaround expert, Syracuse, New York-based Spinozo Real Estate Group, has taken over management and leasing. But the Shops at Buckland Hills, which sits on more than 100 acres, has quietly been in foreclosure for nearly 3 years, and how, when, in what form it will emerge is anyone's guess. The mall went into foreclosure on June 24, 2021, after its owners fell behind on payments to Wells Fargo Bank, the holder of its $130 million mortgage. The foreclosure came amid a pandemic which caused people to stay home and avoid crowds, exacerbating long-term struggles faced by U.S. malls. Connecticut malls, including Buckland Hills, in March 2020 were forced to temporarily close under state-mandated pandemic restrictions, creating further challenges. In fact, certain tenants at Buckland Hills either closed permanently or withheld rent payments during that time period, which hindered the mall's ability to make debt payments, according to the foreclosure complaint. Buckland Hills has also lost some key anchor tenants in recent years, such as Sears, which has occupied about 145,800 square feet of space, and Dick's Sporting Goods, which relocated in 2021 to a nearby retail plaza in Manchester. The Buckland Hills Mall was previously owned by now-defunct General Growth Properties, which was acquired by Brookfield Property Partners in a $9.25 billion deal in 2018. The foreclosure complaint was filed in U.S. District Court in Connecticut against the Shops at Buckland Hills, LLC, a company whose principals, Jonathan Kramer, Tyler Steele, and Kathleen Cordes, all have Chicago-based addresses. Shops at Buckland Hills, LLC, failed to make required monthly debt service payments starting in May of 2020, at the peak of the pandemic, court filings said. As a result of this default, the entire balance of the loan is currently due, the complaint states. The amount due on the loan as of June 2021 was $120.3 million, according to the complaint, which is $24.3 million more than the property's current appraisal value, town records show. The property, at the time of 2021 foreclosure filing, failed to generate sufficient income to support all of the borrower's financial obligations, according to the complaint. The court appointed Spinozo Real Estate Group as the receiver to manage the mall during the foreclosure. Spinozo Group files monthly status reports with the court that show the mall's financial performance. Despite being in foreclosure, the mall reported a seven-figure operating profit in 2023 and has remained profitable during the first 2 months of this year. According to the most recent filing submitted to the court in March, the mall has $93.1 million in assets versus $124.1 million in liabilities, including $109.7 million still owed on the mortgage loan. The March report also listed an 83.4% occupancy rate with 217,953 square feet of vacant space in the mall's property. Spinozo Group's report lists 73 current tenants. Spinozo Group representatives did not respond to multiple requests for comments from the Hartford Business Journal. While Buckland Hills Mall continues to generate operating profits, it's unclear how much longer the foreclosure process will take. Complicating matters is that several big-box department stores, such as Sears, former space, are not owned by the Shops at Buckland Hills, LLC, but by the former occupant's parent company. That complicates the mall's ability to develop new uses for those spaces. Eventually, the mall will need structural changes to remain viable in the long term, experts say. Buckland Hills will definitely continue to be a big contributor to the local economy, said Mike Gorman, principal of Gorman & York Advisory Services, an East Hartford-based real estate consulting firm. It's just got to change to reflect what the local economy wants. He said the mall needs to adapt as customers spend less time shopping at retail stores. I think retail will always be an important part of that location, but probably in a different form and probably smaller, Gorman said. And when the retail component becomes smaller, the reduction in that space will be replaced by other uses. He envisions more restaurants and entertainment venues along with hotels and apartments. The site overall will get redeveloped, Gorman said, but it won't be as large of a retail facility as it is today. Gorman said consumers' tastes began changing in the early 1990s. In the late 1980s, shoppers would spend about 12 hours per month at a mall on average, he said. In the 1990s and the 2000s, the amount of time consumers spend in malls declined precipitously, down to an average of about one trip per month. Rather than consumers seeing shopping as an experience to be enjoyed, it has become more of a driven by fulfillment of a task as a necessity, Gorman said. Some malls have pivoted by offering entertainment and experiences aimed at appealing to younger people, who Gorman says are less interested in shopping for material goods and more interested in the experiences. For example, a Japanese-based arcade chain recently opened a 60,000-square-foot entertainment venue at the Danbury Fair Mall that features bowling, a large selection of games, karaoke, and billiards. Danbury Mall's owner, California-based real estate investment firm Masarich, has considered other uses at the property, including converting the 75,000-square-foot former Lord & Taylor anchor store space into 144 apartments. At the Stanford Town Center Mall, a 28-court pickleball complex known as Pickleball America opened last summer to much excitement. It's situated at the former Saks OFF 5th Department Store, which closed in 2021. Gorman said he believes there is only room for one regional mall in Greater Hartford, and customers have already decided their preference is West Farms. He said West Farms is maintaining customer traffic volumes at a reasonable level, partly due to the ideal market location. It straddles the West Hartford-Farmington line and the quality of its anchor stores. Recently, Jordan's Furniture opened a 120,000-square-foot showroom, entertainment, and restaurant space inside the former Lord & Taylor store at West Farms. The vast majority of malls, and I put Buckland Hills into that category, are pretty routine, Gorman said. Other malls in the region are struggling, too. The Enfield Square Mall lost both anchor tenants, Sears and Macy's, before being sold at auction to a New York investor in 2018 for $11.4 million. Just over a decade earlier, the mall traded hands for $82 million. In recent years, the Enfield Mall has been plagued by vacancies and a lack of investment, but it could soon have a new owner that plans to redevelop the property with retail and other uses. Similarly, the Merritt Mall has been considering filling its abundance of vacant space with pickleball courts and an ambulatory healthcare center. Dick's Sporting Goods recently announced it would be closing the Merritt Mall location in late April. The hope for Buckland Hills' future lies in its location. In addition to the proximity to major highways, it's surrounded by hotels and restaurants, which keeps the area busy, said Gary Anderson, Manchester's economic development director. Anderson said he doesn't see the shops at Buckland Hills disappearing anytime soon. We know the market is changing, Anderson said. We've put in place a lot of flexible zoning here in Manchester to try to be ready for that. Whenever we get the ball, we're ready to try something different and ready to go wherever the market is taking us. He said the property would be ideal for housing as it offers a beautiful view of the region. Also, the town is looking at innovative approaches to spur economic development through its recent Manchester Next study. It includes a conceptual plan for the shops at Buckland Hills area that contemplates a variety of uses, including storefronts attached to the mall, a track and field facility, new parking structures lined with multifamily dwellings and mixed-use buildings, small plazas and market stands, shared-use paths, and even an orchard. Anderson emphasized that the study simply identified ideas for possible uses without making any recommendations or specific proposals. Gorman said Buckland Hills needs to emerge from foreclosure before large-scale changes can occur. It's a great location for potential multifamily residential, Gorman said, so it's got a bright future. It's just going to be different. Turning now to the next story from the Hartford Business Journal. This story is titled Advanced Capabilities. It's subtitled Hartford Healthcare's Deal with GE Health Focuses on Artificial Intelligence, Ensures Access to Latest Medical Equipment Technologies. Moore's Law posts that the number of transistors on an integrated circuit will double every 2 years with minimal rise in cost. The principle, named after Gordon Moore, the former CEO of Intel, can be extrapolated to mean computer processing speeds become twice as fast every 2 years. As technology becomes more powerful, those who don't upgrade their systems fall behind on an exponential basis. Jeff Flax, president and CEO of Hartford Healthcare, which was named one of America's most innovative companies for 2023 by Fortune and Statista Incorporated, wants to stay on the cutting edge. That's why Hartford Healthcare and GE Healthcare, a medical technology company, have extended an existing partnership through 2030, enabling Hartford Healthcare to frequently upgrade its imaging devices to the latest technology. Many of the new imaging systems include tested artificial intelligence and machine learning software, which will enhance clinical expertise, according to Hartford Healthcare. We will continuously get upgrades, get new and first releases of new technology, Flack said in an interview with the Hartford Business Journal. And because of the partnership and the commitment we made to General Electric, we actually save a small amount of money over the course of the 7 years and tremendously advance what our capabilities are and our ability to actually re-engineer healthcare. He declined to release the cost of the contract, but said a small part of it is being funded by a $150 million in new debt financing Hartford Healthcare is in the process of securing. GE Health is a publicly traded company based in Chicago that was formerly part of Boston-based General Electric before it was spun off as an independent business in January 2023. Its former parent company, General Electric, was based in Fairfield and still maintains a Connecticut presence, but relocated its headquarters to Boston in 2016. GE Health, which reported a $19.5 billion in revenue in 2023, recently brought its staff to Hartford Healthcare's downtown Hartford headquarters for a show-and-tell presentation of their latest equipment. The cycles of innovation are changing so quickly that you traditionally buy something and then don't buy something for 5 years, your state-of-the-art, for a year or so, and then you get behind, GE Health President and CEO Peter Arduini said in an interview with the Hartford Business Journal. And this relationship gives all kinds of evergreen capability, so there are now capabilities built in. The latest technology includes imaging equipment such as MRIs, CT, PET CT, and x-rays that can produce images almost instantaneously, reducing the amount of time patients have to wait to get results, and also the amount of staff resources required to produce them. That might mean instead of waiting a week for the results of an MRI, a doctor can make a diagnosis before the patient leaves the room. A GE Health employee demonstrated a portable ultrasound machine. She held the device to her neck, and then a screen displayed the real-time palpitations of her heart. Eventually, these devices could be commonly found in doctors' offices. This allows us to export care into communities as opposed to asking people to go to an imaging center, Flack said. So it's really a game changer. The new technology can also help doctors diagnose health problems more quickly and accurately, officials said. At some point over the next few years, when you go to see your primary care physician, instead of just using a stethoscope or tapping on your belly, they'll be able to use a handheld ultrasound device and analyze 100 times more than they could without it, Arduini said. Flack said there are other benefits to patients, including expanded access to health care. By doing things faster, we can do much more, so we can have more access for more people, and we can do it more safely, Flack said. The latest imaging equipment uses less radiation, he explained, which makes the procedure safer. As another example, an MRI of a knee that used to take an hour may now take 5 minutes, eliminating some patient stress and anxiety, Flack said. Over the course of the 7-year contract, GE Health will provide new technology as it becomes available. It will also have technicians on site to service and maintain the machines. The impact is really significant, and it's really incalculable because it's not just what we know today, but over the course of 7 years, Flack said. There are things we probably can't fully appreciate or imagine that are going to happen as a result of the partnership. Hartford HealthCare began its partnership with General Electric Health in 2016. One of their first projects was building Hartford HealthCare's Logistics Center in Newington, which opened in 2017 and allows Hartford HealthCare to transfer patients who need higher levels of care from other hospitals and emergency departments. The Logistics Center's technology allows Hartford HealthCare to manage all of our beds, colleagues, technology, and resources to unlock the capacity within our health system to care for more people and eliminate dwell time for people who are waiting, Flack said. Transfers that could take days now take minutes, and it was really extremely successful, he explained. Flack said the initial agreement with GE Health also included standardizing equipment across Hartford HealthCare facilities and with industry partners. That means when providers move to different facilities, they use the same equipment they've been trained on. Under the new partnership, Hartford HealthCare said it will deploy GE Health's new imaging technology through a phased approach. The agreement also includes GE Health technologies that involves patient monitoring, anesthesia, maternal infant care, and diagnostic cardiology technologies. New software will help clinicians in the intensive care unit by providing artificial intelligence-powered insights to analyze medical images and detect potential critical conditions in real time, Hartford HealthCare said. Also, Hartford HealthCare will get new deep learning image reconstruction technology that provides sharper images of the body. Hartford HealthCare has about 41,000 employees with more than 500 medical facilities in 185 towns and cities in Connecticut. Flack said Hartford HealthCare is the only healthcare system in the state that collaborates this extensively with GE Health. In a companion story, this is titled Hartford HealthCare to use $150 million in new debt financing for system-wide facility upgrades. Hartford HealthCare will use up to $150 million in new debt financing to fund significant upgrades at its various hospitals and a new proton therapy center it's developing in Wallingford in partnership with Yale New Haven Health. The debt is being issued through the Connecticut Health and Education Facilities Authority, a quasi-public state agency that issues tax-exempt bonds and debt on behalf of nonprofit institutions. CHIFA is involved in most debt issuances by Connecticut hospitals, whether they are traditional public bond offerings or private placement deals with banks. Since nearly all Connecticut hospitals are nonprofit organizations, they have access to tax-exempt debt issuances, which makes borrowing cheaper and more affordable. Chief's board of directors in December voted unanimously to approve Hartford HealthCare's finance request, which includes two separate direct placements with Morgan Stanley, according to Chief and Hartford HealthCare. One direct placement of up to $35 million is expected to close by the end of April, Hartford HealthCare said, and will be used to help finance the planned Proton Therapy Center, which is slated to be built in Wallingford at 932 Northrop Road. Yale New Haven Health, Hartford HealthCare, and Proton International announced in April 2022 that they secured final approval to build and open the $75 million Connecticut Proton Therapy Center, which will provide an advanced form of cancer radiation treatment. There are just over 40 proton therapy centers in the United States, but none in Connecticut. The closest centers are in New York and Massachusetts. The partners originally planned to open the 25,000-square-foot facility sometime in 2025, but the timeline got delayed by the pandemic, hospital officials have said. Their new goal is to break ground on the project in the coming months and have it completed in 2026. Another direct placement of up to $115 million closed in January, Hartford HealthCare said, and will be used to finance equipment purchases and property upgrades at Hartford HealthCare's 7 hospitals and other facilities. The planned funding allocation records show it will include up to $80 million for Hartford Hospital, which has 867 licensed beds, up to $20 million for Backus Hospital in Norwich, which has 233 licensed beds, up to $20 million for the Hospital of Central Connecticut in New Britain, with 446 licensed beds, the Bradley Memorial Campus in Southington, and Hartford HealthCare Cancer Institute in New Britain. Up to $15 million for St. Vincent's Medical Center in Bridgeport with 520 licensed beds. Up to $10 million for Wyndham Community Memorial Hospital with 144 licensed beds. Up to $10 million for Charlotte Hungerford Hospital in Torrington with 122 licensed beds. Up to $10 million for Midstate Medical Center in Meriden with 156 licensed beds. Up to $8 million for Hartford HealthCare Medical Group with locations throughout the state, including Avon, Bridgeport, Bristol, Cheshire, Derby, Enfield, Farmington, Glastonbury, Guilford, Manchester, among others. And up to $1 million for medical offices in Stamford, Trumbull, and Fairfield. Hartford HealthCare didn't provide specific details about the new equipment purchases or types of facility upgrades it's planning. However, in a statement to the Hartford Business Journal, Hartford HealthCare said its hospitals and healthcare systems face growing demands, so it's making the necessary ongoing investments in the latest equipment that will allow our acute care campuses to continue providing communities with world-class care at the most affordable cost. It added that the joint venture with Yale New Haven Health to develop the Proton Therapy Center in Wallingford will allow us to provide leading-edge, innovative treatment options for patients and further enhance the quality of cancer care in the future. Hartford HealthCare in fiscal year 2023 reported nearly $6 billion in operating revenue and an operating surplus of $96.6 million, according to data from the Office of Health Strategy. Hartford HealthCare reported an overall surplus of $134 million in fiscal year 2023 and total long-term debt of $1.4 billion, according to OHS data. One more story from the Hartford Business Journal. XL Center renovation bids come in nearly $40 million over $107 million budget. Project faces delay or redesign. A planned $107 million overhaul and modernization of Hartford's 15,500-seat XL Center Sports and Entertainment Arena is in jeopardy after contractors return bids tallying roughly $140 million. Now project planners are going back to the drawing board, attempting to cut expenses without trimming elements essential to drawing more concerts and events, said Michael Frymuth, executive director of the Capital Region Development Authority, which manages the downtown arena on behalf of the city. It's obviously too high, Frymuth said, of the tallies from the bids that opened in February. What we are talking about is tempering it back, redrawing it, and putting it on the streets to see if we can get it into a better range. Governor Ned Lamont and state lawmakers last year agreed to pump $80 million into an XL Center renovation, provided venue operator and promoter Oakview Group kick in an additional $20 million. The Los Angeles-based live entertainment company agreed to do so in exchange for a 20-year contract to run the XL Center and keep the first $400 million in annual net profit. Any profit over that mark would be split with CRDA and used for arena maintenance. OVG would be responsible for covering any operating loss. CRDA has been angling for years for large-scale rehabilitation of the roughly 50-year-old and increasingly obsolete arena. CRDA leaders say major systems need to be replaced while premium seating, staging, and other elements of the downtown venue needs updating to attract performers and events. Fryman said any changes to the XL Center renovation plans must include upgrades that support shows such as rigging, increased power capacity, new lighting, a sound system, and staging improvements. He also wants to preserve plans for premium club seating, upgrades to lower bowl seating, and improvements to amenities along the concourse. The XL Center currently runs a roughly $2 million annual operating deficit and hosts 6 to 8 concerts a year, in addition to various sporting and other events. OVG Facilities President Hank Abate, during a CRDA meeting last year, expressed confidence his group can boost that number to well above 30 shows annually, provided renovations go forward. The latest budget setback has apparently not dimmed OVG's interest. We are still confident and excited about the project, and at CRDA's discretion, we will participate and support the rebid process. Peter Ludko, co-chair of OVG 360, the company's management arm, wrote in an email to the Hartford Business Journal. It said he anticipates being able to trim the renovation cost to $125 million or less. CRDA would look to corporate sponsors to help close the gulf with the existing budget. It would also seek a bigger investment from OVG, possibly in exchange for additional concessions, such as the amount of profit OVG pockets before the split with the city. CRDA could also tap a portion of the $75 million development fund, Frymuth said. Any reduction would mean fewer dollars for other economic development initiatives, such as loans used to incentivize apartment development. Frymuth said CRDA could opt to abandon the XL Center renovation altogether and muddle through making repairs as problems arise, but that would lead to a cycle of diminished interest in space and declining revenues to keep up with expenses, he said. I think we should push the envelope one more time and see what we can do, Frymuth said. Well, that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the April 1st, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. I'm Pete Anderson. So long until next time.